ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Text 21, we're going to read also 22 from chapter 1, canto 2. Yasyam sadharyamanayam
Yasyam sadharyamanayam
Yogino bhakti lakshanah
Yogino bhakti lakshanah
Ashu sampadyate yoga
Ashu sampadyate yoga
Ashrayam bhadram ikshatah
Ashrayam bhadram ikshatah
Yasyam sandharyamanayam
Yasyam sandharyamanayam
Yogino bhakti lakshanah
Yogino bhakti lakshanah
Ashu sampadyate yoga
Ashu sampadyate yoga
Ashrayam bhadram ikshatah
Ashrayam
Yasyam by such systematic remembrance.
By such systematic remembrance.
Sandharyamanayam.
Sandharyamanayam.
And thus being fixed in the habit of.
And thus being fixed in the habit of.
Yoginah.
Yoginaha.
The mystics.
Mystics.
Bhakti lakshanah.
Bhakti lakshanah.
Being practiced to the devotional system.
Being practiced to the devotional system.
Ashu.
Ashu.
Very soon.
Very
soon. Sampadyate.
Sampadyate.
Attained success.
Attained success.
Yogi, yogaha.
Yogaha.
Connection by devotional service.
Connection by devotional service.
Ashrayam.
Ashrayam.
Under the shelter of.
Under the shelter of.
Bhadram.
Bhadram.
The all good.
Ikshataha,
without seeing that.
Without seeing that.
Excuse me, it's which seeing that. So, O King, by the system, by this system of remembrance, that's what's been described in previous verses, by this system of remembrance, and by being fixed in the habit of seeing the all-good personal conception of the Lord, one can very soon attain devotional service to the Lord under His direct shelter. The idea is that what has been described as indirect, if done properly, can bring one to the direct shelter. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Success of mystic performances is achieved only by the help of devotional attitude. More about pantheism. Pantheism, or the system of feeling the presence of the Almighty everywhere, is a sort of training of the mind to become accustomed to the devotional conception. And it is this devotional attitude of the mystic that makes possible the successful termination of such mystic attempts. One is not, however, elevated to such a successful status without the tinge of mixture in devotional service. The devotional atmosphere created by pantheistic vision develops into devotional service in later days, and that is the only benefit for the impersonalist. It is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 12:5 that the impersonal way of self-realization is more troublesome because it reaches the goal in an indirect way, although the impersonalist also becomes obsessed with the personal feature of the Lord after a long time. And that's not guaranteed either. gee, it seems like there's some consistency here, right? Between messages of Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. What we're hearing in this section, concluding this, the next verse is another section of this chapter. This section is describing a little bit the technique, but more the principles. And then the next long section is drilling more deeply into how these principles are applied, how you do this Virat meditation, combined with chanting of the syllable Om, combined with restraining the senses, and inserted in the principle section is how it moves from impersonal to personal, or from neutral meditation into positive devotional service. And that's the introduction of the principle of bhakti within this kind of unfriendly atmosphere of impersonalism. But just like it's described in Nectar Devotion about mental speculation, same can be said about approaching the impersonal feature. Mental speculation, which reaches the conclusion that I should surrender to Krishna, that can be accepted. Of course, it's a rough road out there. One may not reach that conclusion. Therefore, in general, one should give up mental speculation. Same, this impersonal, pantheistic, because we've been discussing, I have to redefine pantheism, because of this pantheistic conception behind which is the ground of which is an impersonal conception of the Supreme, it can gradually bring one to a personal conception of the Supreme. So these misconceptions or material conceptions of what is supreme, it's the obstacle, along with the conceptions in the mind is the desire of the living entity to independently enjoy. So therefore we have jnana and karma, speculative conceptions and desire to enjoy. That's the material world. Jnana and karma, these two obstacles on the path of bhakti. So what is being described is one indirect system for here's what it says in the next purport. Thus, persons who are unable to pin their faith on the personal feature of the Absolute are given a chance to associate with his Virat Rupa, or the cosmic impersonal feature of the Lord. You know, for the materialist, it's hard for them to conceive of a form that's not material, because we're accustomed to forms that are material. It's hard to conceive of a benevolent person when our experience is people that aren't benevolent. They've always got some agenda. And who is that doesn't have some agenda? So this impersonal tendency born of frustration is very strong. So when one hears of the personality of Godhead, it's watch your backside. Well, got a cruel master. And in fact, many religions or religious teachings are portraying God like that. Vengeful God, strike you down with a lightning bolt if you don't sit straight. So, um, the idea that's being presented in this section is to move one from that fear or impersonal disposition to a little warmer position where pantheism, the system of feeling the presence of the Almighty everywhere, is a sort of training of the mind to become accustomed to the devotional conception. Mm-hmm. Devotional conception meaning God is a person, the conception of God as a person. So the first step in God realization, which is the title of the chapter, is to move into a personal conception of God. And the first step is this pantheistic notion. Feel the presence of God everywhere, within nature. And then becomes, with the Virat Rupa, becomes very, very specific. The bottoms of his feet to the top of his head. The Virat Rupa is the cosmic manifestation with its diverse potencies. Prabhupada writes, this is a feature of his unlimited potencies. So the unlimited potencies, the opulences, the vibhutis, material opulences of the Lord, bring a sense of awe and veneration. Opulence, 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 opulence towards the Lord, towards a personal. So he's explaining, it's this feeling of a devotional attitude that makes it possible for the mystic to go beyond his mechanical methodology into a devotional methodology. So Donna Kelly was putting forth the argument, maybe we should be teaching this. But it's indirect, and because it's indirect, it's more troublesome. And the Prabhupada is mentioning this in the purport, in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Arjun directly asks, so here's some of the symmetry between the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. Arjun directly asks, which do you consider to be better, my dear Lord Krishna? Worship of your personal form or worship of this impersonal feature? Krishna's answer is, both are good, but because eventually one may come to the devotional position, but so it's the devotional position is better because it's direct. You don't have to go one, two, you just go one. And also the klesho dikataraste-sham avyakta-sakta-cetasam, the reference that's here made in the purport, 12.5. Klesha means it hurts, it's difficult, it's troublesome. Klesho adikataraste-sham, for those who are embodied. That's pretty much everybody. We're all embodied. There may be some disembodied entities floating around, but otherwise the rest of us are embodied. Klesho dikadarashtesham avyakta asakta cetasam. The avyakta, the unmanifested form, to become asakti, to become attached to the impersonal form, when our experience is form. It's klesha, it's very troublesome, very difficult. So that's one reason. That's a second reason. One is direct, the other is indirect. One is troublesome, the other is natural and easy. So you've all heard this example, but Prabhupada gives this. If you tell a school child, touch your nose, they can go like this. But they can also go like that, touch the nose. They both work. One is direct and the other is troublesome. And even in that troublesome, besides it's troublesome, there's no guarantee that with the devotional process, immediately one is in touch with Krishna. One might be the most contaminated person, but by our process of hearing and chanting, immediately one is in touch. It's like a powerful cleansing agent at once is brought in contact. Even from the greatest diseased condition, if there's a highly, from this canto, a highly potent drug intravenously injected within the body, at once acts on the whole body. And that metaphor is used to describe the medicine, bhavosandach, shrotra mano bira amat, that is very pleasing to the mind, is this Krishna katha. It directly acts on the infected heart, the contaminated condition of heart, at once. Prabhupada would describe sometimes how I was hearing it just this morning. Prabhupada was saying that when it was time for, there was a large initiation that was taking place, and one by one the candidates were being brought forward, and when it came Prabhupada's turn to be brought forward, immediately Bhaktisiddhanta said, he has an inclination to listen, he should be initiated, this is his qualification. And Prabhupada said, it's true, I would go and listen to my Guru Maharaj, and whenever there was some opportunity to go and hear, I would find out, where is he? Where is Guru Maharaj speaking? And I would go and hear. And many times I wouldn't understand because his speaking was so high. So high. I couldn't understand. But I wanted to go and hear. And another time Prabhupada described Bhaktisiddhanta's lectures were so high and so long that people would start at the beginning and get up and walk out. But Prabhupada would stay and he would listen. Even he said, I wouldn't understand. But something went in. And because the sound vibration is, when sound vibration is pure, it acts on the soul directly. And it's purifying. So one is being relieved of the contaminations, the dirt, the amala, malam, in the previous verse, dirty things, hanti ya tatkritam malam, hanti, it destroys all dirty things. That's good, very good. Disinfectant in the heart just by sound vibration. And again, back to chapter 12, Bhagavad Gita, it's easy. Even a child, even before being born, the living entity within the womb, or a little child that doesn't understand, they can't even talk, or a young child that can, that's all they do is talk, but their concepts are not well formed. Doesn't matter. The sound vibration acts. It's transcendental sound vibration. And if one has that purified sound vibration, then it's very easy to form spiritual conceptions or awaken to spiritual conceptions, rather than this more difficult business that most of us are involved with, is addressing our deep-rooted material conceptions and, you know, trying to yank them out by the root. So spiritual sound vibration, most important. And a third factor, so one is direct, one is easier, and a third factor is that Krishna helps one, the Krishna factor. Krishna helps one who goes to Krishna with a mood of service and dependence upon him. And Krishna reciprocates differently with the other person who says, I'm on my own, I'm independent, I'm going to do it without you. So Krishna doesn't interfere. But with a devotee, it's not interfere, it's he helps. So, my dear Arjuna, and my dear devotees, Shukadeva Goswami is training us. The direct process is recommended. But the first step, so that it's very clear, the first step is just a first step, it's an indirect step. It's trying to get to a personal conception of the Supreme. Indirectly. We don't need this program. We have a better program. But for those that don't, that in the Bhagavatam there are, just in the first canto, descriptions of even Yudhisthira and Dhritarashtra and Bhishma, all three knew this yogic process. Prabhupada describes all high grade persons in Vedic times knew this yogic process that's being described. How they could at will, not just, you know, wait for the guillotine blade to fall and you're dead. At will, they could give up their life. While they were living, they were trained devotional service. And when the time was right, Grandfather Bhishma especially, but the others also, Dhritarashtra, at will, he was able to give up his body. Yudhisthira, after hearing of that Krishna departed, voluntarily was able to give up his body, and they knew the technique. But now back to the message of this purport, without the devotional spirit, it stays on the material platform. It's mystical, but it stays on the material platform. Where's the soul going to go if it's not with the mood of devotion? One can give up the body and then take another body. Big deal. That's going to happen anyways. Or do a little traveling around, visit other planets by astral travel, and then come back to the body. Scientists are doing that. And one can do it rather than in a short period of time through many lifetimes. But it's the same thing. Just, you know, in this pot or that pot, it's the same soup. It doesn't solve the problems of life. It doesn't bring real happiness. Just being curious and space travel. It's mystical. But so what Prabhupada is explaining in the purport is how to go beyond that mystical, mechanical method. He's drawing our attention to what's the most important part, the devotional spirit, the devotional mood, or going back to what was said yesterday, it's the the service attitude, the humble service attitude that transforms something material into something spiritual, to go beyond the limits of birth and death, go beyond the constraints of the laws of nature. That what mystics do is just stretching the laws of nature. They're not going beyond them. In the Nectar of Devotion, it's made very, very explicitly clear. Mystic cities of the mystics are the same things materialists are doing. The materialists are doing it by gross means, by yantra, and the mystics are doing by subtle means. But they're both material. Therefore, as far as a devotee is concerned, they're not interested in bhukti, mukti, siddhi, kami, sakale ashanta. They just agitate the mind. Some people like agitated minds. They're busy agitating their minds and agitating other people's minds. And to agitate the mind in such a way that something mystical comes out. They get some happiness from that. But that's not what the Bhagavatam is recommending. Nor is the Bhagavatam recommending that we meditate on the universal form and chant Om and amalgamate the senses. And that's an indirect process for those that have an attitude toward Krishna. Here's what the next verse describes. I'll read text 22. The fortunate King Parikshit, inquiring further, said, "O Brahmana, please describe in full detail how and where the mind has to be applied and how the conception, that's the personal conception, can be fixed so that the dirty things in a person's mind can be removed." So again, here's mano malam, the dirty things of the mind. That's what we really want, is through purity then we can approach the Supreme Pure. Prabhupada's purport: the dirty things of the heart of a conditioned soul are the root cause of all troubles for him. Watch out for the dirty things. A conditioned soul is surrounded by the manifold miseries of material existence. But on account of his gross ignorance, he is unable to remove the troubles due to dirty things in the heart accumulated during the long prison life in the material world. Looking pretty down. He is actually meant to serve the will of the Supreme Lord, but on account of the dirty things within the heart, he likes to serve his concocted desires. These desires, instead of giving him any peace of mind, create new problems and thus bind him to the cycle of repeated birth and death. The dirty things of fruitive work and empiric philosophy can be removed. Here comes some light. Only by association with the Supreme Lord. The Lord, being omnipotent, can offer his association by his inconceivable potencies. That's when we chant his name, there's Nijasarva Shaktis. There's inconceivable potencies in the whole of Harikatha. Thus, persons who are unable to pin their faith on the personal feature of the Absolute are given a chance to associate with his Virat Roop, or the cosmic impersonal feature of the Lord. The cosmic impersonal feature of the Lord is a feature of his unlimited potencies. But of course, these are material potencies. But you know, that's all that they can get their minds around, is material potencies. What's a spiritual potency? They will see it as a material potency. Since the potent and potencies are identical, even the conception of his impersonal cosmic feature helps the conditioned soul to associate with the Lord indirectly and thus gradually rise to the stage of personal contact. So, more along the same. The ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita describes the condition of the faithless person. Ashradadana purusha dharmasyasya parantat aprapyamam divartante mrityu sangsaravartmani. Poor fellows. They, because of their faithlessness, they can't, this transcendental potency thing, the spiritual form of the Lord thing, the transcendental nature of devotional service, they're barred from it because of their faithlessness. They can't enter. And so when they hear descriptions of the form of the Lord, they think it's material. 9:11 Bhagavad Gita. When Krishna appears in his original transcendental form, manushim tanamashricha, they think that it's material. Like, he assumes a form like we're assuming a form, a temporary form. Krishna's is, you know, nicer. It's rarefied goodness according to Shankaracharya. But it's material. That's his garbage. Wrong message. Not material. It's not rarefied goodness. It's transcendental form. His form, there's no inside and outside of Krishna. The form of Krishna is Krishna. There's no inside, outside. His form is fully transcendental. So when one hears about his form or sees his form, including the discussion yesterday about deity worship, the deity form, although made of wood, stone, or metal by the alchemical process, by the mystical process, by the devotional process of installing the deity and worshipping the deity in the right mood, then those in the form of the Lord is no longer just material. But those that are materialists, that's how they'll see. And so for the Lord to reciprocate with them, he remains to them like that. And for the devotee, the form of the Lord through his inconceivable potencies mentioned in the previous purport acts fully spiritually. Therefore, even the paraphernalia of worship is called tadiya, or it acts spiritually. And it's not so the it's not just some sentiment. The scriptural authority for this understanding is there, and one who has proper faith can fully realize. Even when doesn't have faith, one will receive benefit from hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and hearing the holy name and seeing the deity form of the Lord. But the full benefit is accessible for those who have some faith and proper direction in how to proceed with faith. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam is there for guiding us. We're very fortunate that Prabhupada made this translation and his very transcendental Bhaktivedanta purports. So, any discussion?
Since you started this series of verses, I've been contemplating what's the distinction between those who are impersonalists and have an attitude towards Krishna Ram, and they probably never come to the devotional platform, which I call Mayavadi, versus these persons who actually have a chance and probably take that chance to move from the higher level of pantheism to the devotion to the Supreme Lord and His personal creature. So I was wondering, as Madhyama Adhikari, or trying to be Madhyama Adhikari, we're asked, or the injunction is to preach to the innocent, or to assist the innocent. The innocent can have several categories, it seems like. There's some who are You can make a distinction between those who are impersonalist but innocent, or have been, could come to this mode of devotion, versus those who are atheists. It's just I wonder if you can elaborate a little on that, or am I getting tumbled up?
It's a little complicated, but the way that you phrased the question, I'll just assume that we're in agreement that we don't help those people by giving them this indirect method. We help those people by giving them a direct method. With that assumption, we can look to Narada Muni and great acharyas and how they have helped persons move from a stuck position to unstuck. And it very much depends upon the individual. So the how-to is be tuned into the individual and try to appreciate how that individual is seeing the world, and then assist them to go out of that world into the devotional world. And what Narada did with Dhruva Maharaj, with Murghari the Hunter, and with King Puccini Bari, and with the Haryashvas and Savalashvas, it's so different. So totally different than Prahlad's wife, or Prahlad's mother rather, Kayadu. Totally different. Different. So on one side is purity, and the other is how is that individual perceiving the world? So it really takes Super Soul to guide when it comes to making those kinds of distinctions. And experience. But there's some principles in practical ways with our preaching Krishna consciousness in modern time. One essential principle right at the very, very beginning is showing friendship to that person, and friendship meaning not contractual. I'll be your friend if. Just showing friendship, just like being a Vaishnav. And consistently. I won't mention names because this is being recorded, but when in Chicago had nice conversation after they had their post Janmashtami festival in the suburbs, and afterwards it was a very nice program. I sat with one family taking prasadam and asked them how did your family start taking up Krishna consciousness. So there's a good way to find out. It's just you ask people what helped you. How did it happen? They said they moved into the Chicago area and they were wondering where is a temple they could go to. And there's one that was closer to where they were than our temple downtown. But they heard about they had to do some shopping on Devon Street, so they went to the one downtown. And fortunately, they met some very friendly devotee. There's critical experience. And that friendly devotee, they exchanged information. Here's my phone number, here's your phone number. And they called them up afterwards. It was just, in short, a whole series of steps that they just extended themselves and extended themselves and extended themselves. And the person said, we would get these encouragements. Why don't you come to our Bhakti Vriksha? It's very close to where you live. Oh, okay. Because of their friendship. And then they had a nice experience. But like is commonly goes on, people are busy doing other things. So they were not ready to come regularly. But, they just kept receiving these kind... And he didn't take it like, leave me alone. Just stop sticking your nose in my business. He took it as friendship, because it was genuine. And then chanting. Well, I have trouble. Okay, well, let's chant together. Okay. Well, it's hard for me to get, so we'll chant over the phone. Oh, boy. And he said, my wife is in the kitchen saying, not me. I'm busy. I don't have time. But because that devotee and his wife continued to just very kindly extend themselves, it melted their resistance. And now they're wonderful devotees. He's so thankful that this couple extended themselves with such friendship. So the resistance wasn't ideological, it was just lazy and conditioning, both. But they were appreciative of that friendship. A commitment to the person. Not, get something from them. Commitment to the person. Everybody wants that. Very natural. And it was genuine. So that's where it starts. And then when there's real friendship, you don't push things on people. You understand. I have this metaphor. I'm here, the other person is over there. I build a bridge and go on the other side of the bridge and meet the other person on the other side of the bridge and hang out. Make friendship. When there's friendship, it's just naturally because a devotee is who a devotee is, or I am who I am, discussion goes to what's about devotional life. And then because there's friendship, there's some trust, they start asking. And then you can go one step on the bridge. You don't have to go all the way, to the other side, just one step on the bridge. And how's it feel? Hey, it feels good. Like we were just in Nashville, Tennessee, and there's a young American woman coming in a group of practically all Indian congregation members, and they introduced me to her and right in the middle of the program, and I said, oh, how are you finding Krishna consciousness? And she says, my first time coming to a program like this, but I'm trying to be vegetarian. She was like, this is where I'm at. It's just that short statement, trying to be vegetarian. Okay. And just be accepting of her. She doesn't have to be like everybody else. It's okay. She's where she is, and she's just experiencing. That's nice. Let them feel accepted and comfortable. And when they're ready to take another step, they'll let you know. And through the relationship, they may, go another step even before they would just tap you on the shoulder and say, I'm ready to go another step. Just because of the relationship. Then as devotees, there's some things that we need to be concerned about. One is contamination. Another is having fruitive expectations of our own. Another is not becoming attached to their problems. There's this phrase in the devotee preaching that I've, in the course of discussing about preaching, the phrase, I've heard it many times, it's you get involved in people's lives. When you get involved in people's lives, then you find out all kinds of problems that they have. It's like in teaching or in counseling or in leading, you can't own the problems of the other person. You get quickly overwhelmed. If And it's wrong in any case. It's not we got to fix other people's problems. That's egoism. That's not our program. Our program is being instruments of Krishna. So their problems are their problems. But we can care about their problems. We get involved. We find out what they are. We care about them. We can't take ownership of them. Even if they want us to take ownership of them, that's a problem that arises. So it's our own purity is also at risk. And you know, doing the thing through false ego rather than doing the thing because it's the Krishna, it's what a devotee does. We're to be friendly towards all living beings. And especially when there's some light, some indication from their side that there's some attraction. Like this couple that I was mentioning. Sometimes it's, you know, they're with some families, it's they're concerned about their children. Which is really backwards because they can't have... Anyway, the real training is in the home, not outside the home. So they are the ones that really need the spiritual... But then they can give that to their children. So someone else can... It can be a starting point to help their children. And then the children want to come, so the children bring the parents. But still, the parents have to... You know, it's part of the problem of working with children is there's problems in the home. And it gets complicated. So really, the parents have to come forward too. But I've seen it work. First the child, then the wife, then the husband. In that sequence. And then the husband becomes the strongest Krishna conscious member. He leads the family. You know, but it's all so many little innuendos and dynamics and... spiritual care, genuine spiritual care, and people can say no, and that's okay. And when people use, there's some response, some acceptance, and some step taken from their side, then one can go other steps. Based upon that relationship, that trusting friendship that exists. Anything else? Rati?
As you mentioned earlier, contamination.
Yeah. What is it? It's malam. Dirty things. It's used in the previous verse and the next verse, 22. To keep it really simple, Prabhupada just says fruitive intention and mental speculation. And then there's subcategories. Dirty things. Contaminations of heart. It's wanting to enjoy, which is natural for the soul because we're part and parcel of the Supreme Enjoyer, but wanting to enjoy independently of the Supreme. That's fruitive intention. Even in the realm of devotional service. It's all about me. And that's all about Krishna. And serving Krishna. That's a contamination. And then, who is Krishna? So many conceptions. The Prabhupada would say, they have this saying, in God we trust, but who is God? That they do not know. And therefore, the phrase is empty. And there's so many conceptions of God that are wrong. And so they move with those conceptions that are wrong, and then they're frustrated. So one needs to proper conception. That is born of speculation. Those are contaminations. Jnana, karma, janavritam, contaminations. Malam. Dirty things. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Shankaracharya Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.